Welcome to the wrestling show that's not just for wrestling fans. This is Smark and Friends on lovewrestling.ca. My name is Zach and I'll be your host. One of my favorite things about living here in Montreal is the summertime. It's full of great festivals. We've got Jazz Fest, we've got Just for Laughs, we've got the Fantasia Film Festival, and my personal favorite is the Montreal Fringe Festival. It's a theater festival, always a great time. You've got fun shows, you got funny shows, you got spirited shows, you've got shows that make you think. If you're a theater fan, it's a great city to be in this time of year. And I'm speaking to an artist who is contributing a show to this year's festival. I'm speaking with Valerie Boisvert. She's an artistic director, writer, and performer for Loose Cannons Theatre Company. And this year, they are producing Down the Rabbit Hole, a comedic play about how even the very best of us can be susceptible to buying into conspiracy theories and connecting dots that aren't necessarily there. We are watching a match provided by Nation Extreme Wrestling out of Vancouver, British Columbia, so thank them very much for letting us watch one of their very fine matches on today's episode. We're, of course, doing a wrestling watch-along, as we often do with uninitiated wrestling fans on this show. And before we get to that, I gotta thank the good people who keep the lights on here at Love Wrestling. I'm of course talking about manscaped.com. Support for Love Wrestling is brought to you by Manscaped, who is the best in men's below-the-waist grooming, champions of the world. Manscaped offers precision engineering tools for your family jewels. Manscaped just launched their fourth generation trimmer, the Lawnmower 4.0. So join the over 4 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped with this exclusive offer from Love Wrestling. Use our promo code LOVEWRESTLING at manscaped.com. You're going to get 20% off your order. You're going to get free shipping wherever you are in the world. How cool is that? Head to manscaped.com. Love Wrestling's your promo code. 20% off. Your balls will thank you. We're going to be back with Valerie right after this message.
Hello, friends. Spencer Love here to interrupt your drive time commuter, your regularly scheduled podcast listen to tell you about Love Wrestling, the brand new destination to find out more about what you love in the squared circle. We've got previews, reviews, breaking news, interviews, opinion pieces, features, and more all under one convenient location. Head to lovewrestling.ca, youtube.com/lovewrestlingca, or your preferred podcast player of choice because you want to check out what you love about pro wrestling.
And we are back. Joining me today from right here in Montreal, she's one of the artistic directors of the Loose Cannons Theatre Company, as well as writer and director and co-star or actor within the upcoming show Down the Rabbit Hole at the Montreal Fringe Festival. Valerie Boisvert, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, happy to have you. I mean, putting on a Fringe show is a bit of a sprint, so all the more reason I want to thank you for taking the time to speak with me today.
Of course.
How are things going? Like, how busy are you feeling with the Loose Cannons?
Oh, my God. Well, basically, I've been doing the Loose Cannons. I've been graduating. So that has been...
Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you. And I have been also working on a web series that will be premiering, or not actually premiering. We'll start the tournage at the same time as the Fringe starts, pretty much. So I just have a chunk of June that is just taken up so much of my energy. But it's been great. And I have been lucky enough to be supported by the people working at Fringe, like Kenny. He's been great. He's told me that usually this process sort of starts in November and that instead it started in March for us. So it's just been deadline after deadline. And it's right now I was focusing on publicity, and next week we're starting rehearsals. So it's just like, I'm really excited to finally put aside the technical stuff and really focus on the art.
Right on. Now, again, a lot of my research is like grounded in Down the Rabbit Hole, but I want to just put you on the spot here. Tell me about your web series. This is awesome.
The web series is basically, it's called Léo au Féminin. I am an actor on it. I'm not part of any creative idea or team. But basically it's with people I've done acting before. I've done a student film with them before and they've been great. And I think they're really awesome and driven people. And so I was really excited when they put out auditions out there. I really wanted to be part of it. And I think it's going to be a cool experience, really.
Awesome. Glad to hear that. We'll keep an ear to the ground for that production as well.
Yeah.
Now, back to Loose Cannons. What's the mission statement with this company?
The mission statement is founded on or based on something I saw in the past couple of years. It was a lack of critical thinking in society. that fascinated me. And so I think the loose cannons, I don't have this statement made up yet. I think if it was to develop into something bigger outside of the fringe, like I would like it to, it would mean putting on some plays that are, that will bring people, audience members, students, whatever, that will bring them to think critically about a situation. So plays that will make you not just taboo plays. It's not as much taboo as much as plays that are going to make you think, what would I do in that position?
Cool. And I understand with this one, with down the rabbit hole approaching conspiracies and how people can kind of like fall down, even the best of us can fall down, you're approaching it with a bit of a sense of humor about it too.
Absolutely. Because I think, especially with what we've seen with COVID and vaccination, I think people have felt attacked if they did not, for some personal reasons, not get the vaccine or anything. I think conspiracy theorists have felt attacked, and I do not want them to feel like this watching my play if they come. I would like them to see it, and I have a family friend who is actually a conspiracy theorist, and I would love him to come see my play and actually just present it. I wanted to focus on the psychology of conspiracy theories actually more than the theories themselves. Yeah.
Okay. Would this play exist had the Fringe Festival not been coming up so soon?
Yes, it would exist. I wanted to bring this play, as I mentioned, when I saw how fascinated I was by the lack of critical thinking in society. And so my initial idea was to tour it in schools. I would like next year, and then Fringe came, I got in, I was like, huh, might as well test it out there and see how I can improve it after, or, you know, and have like something strong to start off. And then I would like to add a talk back because I do have a scientific background. I'm not all theater artsy. I do have a scientific background of 3 years that I would like to incorporate and add a 45-minute talk back after the play itself to present in schools as early as elementary school, actually.
Very cool. Now working with your theater company, with the people that, you know, are putting Down the Rabbit Hole together, what's been like? Like, I don't know, you mentioned you haven't quite started rehearsal yet, but this is some heavy subject matter, and I'm glad that you're approaching it. How are those conversations happening within the team of how to broach these subjects and doing so with a sense of humor?
So basically, I would have to explain my team, who it is actually. So I have my actress, my head actress, my lead actor, Audrey Shana Ferrus, and she is a comedy queen. That's how I introduce her. She's got an insane comedic timing. And so I think that whatever she says, everybody laughs. It's just how she says is her facial expression. So the subject itself had little to no impact on the comedy. You know, I think it was her that brought it all along. And so, and then my stage manager is also a part of it. And he's a stage manager that's part of Dawson and that I kept good contact with. And they are a great, serious, okay, let's contain this kind of thing. So I went down, I have a bunch of conspiracies because as you'll see, one leads to another, leads to another. And so I like what they say when they're like, okay, now why are we going that route when we could have contained it to this route instead? And it's like, yeah, indeed, we don't have to explore there as much. So it was fun to work with people who were both extravagant and the opposite. So we can have some balance there. Yeah.
Is this going to be running throughout the entirety of the Fringe Festival?
Pretty much. I'm very amazing. Lucky. I have June 9th, we open when Fringe opens, and we close a day before Fringe closes. So I'm very, very happy.
That is a sprint. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Very cool. Now, when I reached out to you and we were corresponding, I asked if you were familiar with a bit of a conspiracy that exists within the world of professional wrestling. Certainly a lot less damage causing than, you know, controversies and conspiracies surrounding the vaccine and things along that nature. I'm, of course, talking about the Montreal screw job. You said you were familiar with it. So to put you on the spot, what do you know about the events of November 9th, 1997 in wrestling?
So we have the WWF and WCW, and basically we have Hart versus Shawn Michaels, and we have the the Hart who wants to leave the WWF to go into WCW, and McMahon, I hope that's how we say his name.
McMahon.
Yeah, him. He's in charge of, or the owner of, the WWF. And so when Hart wants to leave, he's like, and the contract finishes to go into the other one, he's like, well, I want to leave with one last fight, but I'm not going to do it against Michaels, my big enemy on and off wrestling. And so at some point, everything was agreed upon, big quotes. And then that night, we have the referee who I think was told, please, you count fast the moment Michaels pins Hart's on the ground, and it's 1, 2, 3 and it's done. And it spurred a lot of controversy because it was so quick and Hart was upset, rightfully so.
Yeah. Yeah, you more or less hit it right on the head. Now, like, where the conspiracies really have been coming in regarding, like, these events is, like, yes, we're under the impression that this was people who were conspiring against Bret Hart to get the belt off of him and everything. Mm-hmm. Now, you go a level deeper, and there is a contingent of fans who believe that this wasn't what you call a shoot. This was actually going to be a storyline that Bret and Vince McMahon were planning to continue sometime years down the road when Bret comes back from WCW one day. Mm-hmm. And what gives this a lot of credence, where there's smoke about this, is the I forgot to look up the exact film company, but a documentary film crew chronicled Bret leaving WWF at this time. They're completely removed from WWF. They're not like they don't work for them. They started this documentary before there was any talk of Bret leaving. And they just so happened to surround all these events that involve Bret leaving for WCW and Vince McMahon's worry that, like, Bret might leave with the title. And then, you know, the events that happened in Montreal in November 97. Mm-hmm. Now, again, timing of building a documentary at a rather, you know, peculiar or not, like, particularly noteworthy part time in Bret Hart's career. I don't know. Do you think there's smoke here?
I think so. And I'll tell you why. What I do like about this conspiracy and the conspiracies that came off of it is that very little people were involved. And I think that is what makes the conspiracy credible, because there is an actual equation that exists that will tell you how long a conspiracy can last based on the number of people involved. Somebody might snitch, how much time has passed. And so I think it's very interesting because it was kept small. So even today, we still think it might be something that happened and that Bret was involved. And that was, I think that's cool.
Right on. Outside of the Montreal screw job, do you have any other experience within the fandom of professional wrestling?
Not professional wrestling. Olympic wrestling is what I know most, actually.
Cool.
When you told me this, I because my boyfriend was an Olympic wrestler, and he did Olympic wrestling. Yeah. And so we've had plenty of UFC nights. I did boxing for 4 years. So I was into that kind of stuff. And when you said wrestling, professional wrestling, I was like, I'm going to go see what that is. And I loved it. It's a mix of, like, drama and the sport. And I have to say,
100%.
Yeah, it's wonderful. I really enjoyed it. So, yeah.
Right on. Well, as we often do here on Smark and Friends, Valerie has been invited to participate in a wrestling watch-along here on the podcast, and we are watching a match provided by our friends over at Nation Extreme Wrestling out of Vancouver, British Columbia. One half of the tag team champions, Miles DeVille, battles someone I think would be very interested in down the rabbit hole, a play about conspiracy theories. He is the alien aficionado. He is Bigfoot's best friend. He is the cryptid connoisseur. We are watching a match of Eli Surge. And if you are listening to the podcast version of this recording and you want to watch this match along with us, and I hope you do, go ahead and pause this podcast and head over to NEW's YouTube channel. Find the video 37, Eli Surge versus Miles DeVille, and jump to the time code 1 minute 19 seconds. Pause this podcast and come back to us. Are you ready? Good, because we are going to click play on go. Valerie, are you ready?
Oh, hell yeah.
Excellent. 3, 2, 1, go. Here we go. On the left, Eli Surge in the tinfoil hat, Miles DeVille with the blonde ponytail. Now, in regards to conspiracy theories, like where, what's the value in the tinfoil hat?
Oh my God, the tinfoil hat is to prevent you from somebody accessing your brain kind of thing. I do mention it in my play because I think it's the most typical, stereotypical kind of thing. And yeah, my actor is like, yeah, I think the character is like, I think it suits me well. And it's just like, it's just, it's assuming that you are a conspiracy theorist if you're wearing it kind of thing. At least that's how I view it.
It's certainly not not a fashion choice that's adopted by any other kind of cultures or whatnot. I don't think so. Anyway,
I hope not. But yeah, no, I think it's a statement, and it's like it's a statement. Yeah, you just don't. You're at the point where it doesn't matter where people or what people think of you. It's just like yeah.
It's the visual cue of the point of no return.
Yeah, exactly.
Is there any other kind of like visual design choices that kind of like work in the same vein as that as the tinfoil hat in the in your production?
How much do I want to say?
It's true. We don't want to get too many spoilers. Absolutely.
I would say, yeah, I would say we use a lot of multimedia and some switch from a phone live, a little like this, a live YouTube kind of thing to. And so we deal with. Like if I mentioned the topic of reptilians, which are one of my favorite conspiracy theories, there are characteristics of them that we will see or will be mentioned in the play. So, and will the actor necessarily look reptilian? That's a good question, you know, or if it's going to take some imagination from the audience, you know.
It sounds like a lot of fun. I was provided some embargoed information about what's being showcased at the Fringe Festival mm-hmm. when I was scouting potential guests for this episode, and yeah, I was just drawn to your to the synopsis for Down the Rabbit Hole. I'm very excited for that show.
Cool, thank you. I'm very excited too.
Naturally.
Yeah.
So looks like Miles DeVille's tag team partner is going to be joining the commentary table over there. We unfortunately will not, of course, be capturing what's being said at the table. We're just going to enjoy the in-ring action happening at Nation Extreme Wrestling. I don't know why I keep wanting to say Nashville instead of Nation.
Nashville.
You know, I think I like my mind wants me to like go through with it and say national, but I just like it just keeps my brain keeps tripping on it. And no, it's Nation.
I wonder if he'll keep the hat. I have to say.
I hope so.
Me too. I mean, there were masks at the time. Why can't he keep the hat?
The ref was doing her due diligence there, checking for any foreign objects that they might be carrying in the gear. And yes, that includes within the tinfoil hat.
Jeez.
Oh, here we go. A gesture of goodwill. Eli Surge is offering Miles the hat.
Come down the rabbit hole with me.
He's consulting with his tag team partner. Wondering if he should do it.
Oh, boy. Oh, shit.
Nope.
All right. And
it is rejected.
Wow. Quick. I have to ask you, how much of this how is this all choreographed?
There is a level of choreography, but what I think is really cool about wrestling, or at least when I think wrestling is at its best, is there's this level of like engaging with how the audience is reacting.
Okay.
You know, it's like, yes, you do have your predetermined finish. You know who's going to win the match, and you know a couple high spots that you want to do throughout the contest. But you're trying to tell a story, and also you're trying to listen to the audience and see which chapters of that story they want to see more of, so to speak. Kind of hard to articulate much past that, and I say that only as a fan. I have no studies within the actual world on how these things are executed, but you know, you can kind of intuit when things are being being improvised, and you know, when they're listening to the crowd.
If I can give my professional opinion as an actor, I think we just finished a play here at Dawson, and it was totally formed out of improvisation, like completely. And we kept the best parts of that. So sometimes improv, as much as it sounds reckless, as much as, well, in this case, you know, debatable, but as much as it sounds sometimes risky, it can bring some really, really cool stuff. And it's sometimes the best moments were when the audience laughed a lot. That was all improvised. And it's like, it's finessed.
I love improv theater. Like, it's just, I don't even know how, like, you can really revisit improv theater outside of what you've just articulated. Because, like, every time I go to a show and, like, I try to explain what I saw at the improv show, it just sounds like a fever dream that, like, just makes no sense until, except for when you're in the moment.
Yeah. Well, I've been going to improv theater because I have a roommate who does improv theater at Théâtre Sainte-Catherine on St. Catherine.
And, great venue.
Yeah, awesome venue. And it's always fun because, as you said, a fever dream. It's never the same thing every night. I've been three times recently, and it's all their concepts are different. Some nights it's more games. Some nights it's the same thing repeated over and over, but because it's scenes they're taking from the audience or they're taking from their own suggestions, sometimes it can get into some things that we never expected, you know?
Right on. I'm concerned for Eli Surge here. He just took a Hurricane Rana and his knee hit the post there. One of my favorite spots in the city, Montreal Improv, I think the actual venue closed during COVID, but I still see their social media presence quite active, so I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, I don't know either, actually.
Yeah. Miles DeVille looking for a Tilt-A-Whirl DDT. Oh,
that was cool.
Dropped him right on his head. We get a two count. So about halfway through this match, who do you think's got the advantage? Who's leaving with the W?
I hope it's Tinfoil Man. But I think it's actually the referee. No, I think she's undervalued. I think she's doing a great job.
Referees are the absolute staple of a good match, and they're so much underappreciated because I mentioned that level of improv. They're also getting, like, the referees themselves, often they're getting a level of communication from backstage, like telling them to get the people to wrap it up awful quick or give them a few more minutes.
Right.
Yeah. Refs are certainly unsung heroes in the world of professional wrestling. Which is fair, you know, like, I respect, 100% respect what they do, but I came to see the wrestlers.
Yeah.
I will, of course, take the moment to mention that Eli Surge will be competing at Love Wrestling's signature event, LPW. Let's talk about wrestling. He'll be competing in the 7-man scramble. And he kicks out at 2. I thought that was a finish right there. May 27th, which will be 1 week from this particular broadcast. Boom. Wow. I thought that was the finish right there. Again, props to NEW. Like, this is, once again, an independent promotion out of Vancouver, British Columbia, but their production value looks fantastic.
I wonder if they... Sorry.
No, go for it, please.
I wonder, just because I mentioned I did boxing in the past, I wonder how much of this is, like, athletic-based. Like, do they decide to do this as an end-of-career kind of thing, or do they immediately go into this?
There's a lot of different walks of life of people getting into professional wrestling. I mean, like you were talking about amateur wrestling earlier on. Mm-hmm. One of the greatest wrestlers to ever do it was Kurt Angle, who was USA Olympian. He won gold at the 96 Olympics, I want to say, for wrestling. And he was just, like, he was fantastic when he transferred over to the world of pro wrestling. But there's a lot of people who just, like, you know, they fell in love with this. Oh, my goodness. Sunset bomb. They fell into love with, like, this kind of professional wrestling. And that's what they jump into.
Yeah.
And, like, you know. Oh, my goodness. There's a lot of, you know, there's varying degrees of athleticism, but, you know, they're certainly all athletes in one regard or another.
For sure.
How to cheat to win. Okay, yes, he went for a 3 count, but his buddy ringside put his foot on the ropes. If you get your foot on the ropes during a pinfall or a submission, the fall is broken up. Excuse me, my brain is just tripping over itself all day. Eli Surge, he's signaling, he's going to the top rope. The referee's distracted. Oh my goodness.
Can I ask who is distracting the referee? Is this intentional?
Oh yeah. That was because Miles DeVille, that was one of Miles DeVille's buddies distracting the referee, and while the ref was not looking, Miles DeVille hit Eli Surge with a briefcase while he was coming off of the top rope. For an object for the win, Miles DeVille picks up the W.
Wow.
So that was that. That was Eli Surge versus Miles DeVille from NEW out of Vancouver, British Columbia. Valerie, what did you think?
I liked it. I have to say, I think it's theater. I think totally. All of this can be done by actors only. No, that's not true. I think there has to be a big balance between the two, but I think it's great.
Right on. Absolutely. Yeah. 100%. Like it's as much theater as it is sport. I use the term sport loosely because it's not actually a competition. It's an engagement with the audience, an engagement with your other performer. It is theater. It's a field unto itself. Once again, that was Valerie Boisvert joining me for an episode of Smark and Friends watching Eli Surge versus Miles DeVille from NEW. Before I let you go, please let the audience know where to follow you on social media and everything else we need to know about Down the Rabbit Hole from the Loose Cannons Productions.
So, my Instagram, at the Loose Cannons, Twitter, at the Loose Cannons, Facebook, the Loose Cannons. And I would ask you to please show yourself at Mainline Theater starting on June 9th until June 18th. And if you want to have a good time to just watch how people can make links out of nothing and just have fun with the idea that creativity exists in these people that we think are just bad intentioned when they're actually not.
Marvelous. Thank you so much for joining me today.
It's a pleasure.
That was Valerie Boisvert of the Loose Cannons Theatre Company talking about Down the Rabbit Hole, playing next month at the Montreal Fringe Festival and watching a match provided by Nation Extreme Wrestling. Wrestling fans, you gotta check out NEW. They're a fine promotion. Go to their YouTube channel, click subscribe, always releasing fine matches. Again, there's independent wrestling, and then there's independent wrestling that takes it to another level, especially with production value, and really take the time to crafting really excellent matches. NEW is one such company that does so here up in the Great White North. If you're an artist living in Montreal, guys, I cannot recommend volunteering for the Fringe Festival enough. You take in great theater. It's a real party atmosphere. It's a great networking opportunity. You know, it's a lot of work, don't get me wrong, but it's a lot of fun too. So again, if you're an artist in the city, please take the time to consider volunteering for the Montreal Fringe Festival. It's something I've done myself. And again, I can't speak highly enough of it. A lot of fun. And again, if that's not your scene, if you're not planning on volunteering, please at least consider going to see some of the fine shows going to be performed at the Montreal Fringe Festival this year. Again, you go for one day, you time your schedule right, you might see up to a dozen shows and have an absolute blast at all of them. So yeah, consider that. Next week, our Fringe celebrations continue. I'm going to be welcoming another artist who's going to be performing at the Fringe Festival. I'm speaking with Leland Beckman, who's going to be talking about his own Fringe show, An Evening with Leland Beckman, and the adjacent launch of his comedy album, Oral Turpitude, coming out next month, all in June. So join us next week for another pro wrestling watch along. If you like what you heard, please follow me on social media. You can follow me on Twitter at SmarkMouth, on Instagram at Smark.Mouth, and of course you can follow the show at Smark and Friends on Twitter and Instagram. And of course you can follow at Love Wrestling CA on Facebook, on Twitter, on Instagram, and on TikTok. And of course you can also subscribe and follow our YouTube and Twitch channels. So please take the time to do so. And if you really like what you heard, hey, head on over to ratethispodcast.com/lovewrestlingca. You're not going to be rating just the Smark and Friends show. You're going to be rating Power Out, NXT, Between Two Beards, Friend and Foe with Cody Defoe, Spencer Love interviews, all that fine content being produced. So thanks so much for watching some wrestling with Valerie and I. We are going to be back next week. Till then, friends.